Welcome to the Healthy Church Growth Show podcast with me, Madge Obaseki. I'm an ordained minister, a church consultant, author, and I'm honored to be the host of this podcast. This podcast addresses a wide range of issues which affect the healthy growth of the church at large. Every single Monday, you'll hear me with fellow ministers, church leaders, and experts in their field to help leaders in the body of Christ identify practical solutions. Join me every Monday for an episode of the Healthy Church Growth Show podcast. Welcome to the Healthy Church Growth Show podcast, and this is episode 34. Now, the book of Philippians 2:4 tells us that as a church, we need to look after our needs, but also the needs of others. Now, with that in mind, one of the pressing societal issues right now is tackling loneliness, particularly amongst older people. So we're going to be talking about that today and how, as a church, you can help address this issue, because actually it's recognized as a public health risk. So today I will be speaking to Jeremy Sharp, who's the National Director for Linking Lives UK. And Linking Lives works with churches and other Christian organizations to alleviate loneliness amongst socially isolated older people. Jeremy, thank you so much for joining me. How are you?
Very well, yes. Thanks much. Yeah, doing well.
Fantastic. First of all, tell me a little bit about you, your background, and how you came to be the national director of the charity.
I've been in Reading for about the last 15 years or so. I'm married to Christine. We've got two boys who are aged 12 and 14. And so they're in the middle, one of them's in the middle of mock exams at the moment. But and we live just outside Reading. I guess my background, when I was in Cheltenham, I worked for a building society for 10 years. That was my main first job in the mortgage arrears and repossessions department. Wow. Which was an interesting role to be involved in, particularly as a Christian. And alongside that, I was involved in a church in a kind of town, a church in the centre of town, which at the time wasn't really doing a lot for the local community. It was there and it was meeting on a regular basis on a Sunday. But I kind of had quite a heart for really reaching out to the local community from quite an early stage. And in a way, looking back, that's really, I think, how God's got me involved in this. I was made redundant from my job for the building society after about 10 years. And then I went off and trained in health and community studies and got a degree in health and community work. And then since then, I always wanted to apply that within a church context and ended up getting a job working as a community worker for a church locally to here. And it's been great to see how God kind of moved me from one role or one type of work to another. And I've really been involved in some kind of Christian social action ever since then, which was 1998. So during that time, I've been involved in working with churches, helping them to engage in their local communities, whether that be working with families, sometimes young people, but particularly older people as well. And that seems to have been the way that God's led me over the recent years. And it's been great just to see, particularly this side of things, that the work with lonely, isolated people. We began working on that back in 1998 before it was ever a big thing, as it has been over the last few months. So it's been great just to see how God's had his hand in all of that, and I believe been preparing us for a moment such as this, really.
A moment such as this. Wow. You know, in my lifetime, I don't remember anything like this that's hit the globe. You know, the whole of the world is going through such a time as this. But it's great to hear what you're doing. So when did you become national director?
Well, my role has really kind of morphed over time. So the project that the work we're doing on that it's based on started back in 1998 as part of that church project. It kind of grew locally and then more regionally, and then registered as a charity several years ago now, about 10, 15 years ago. And my role during that time sort of changed. So at one point, I was the trustee of the new charity. And then we've developed things on a much more national level within the last 7 years or so. So it was really at that point that I became the national director effectively of the work that we're doing in,
right.
Mainly working with churches across the country now. So
tell me about the reason and the purpose that Linking Lives exists in the UK.
So we really focus on combating social isolation and loneliness, particularly amongst older people. So we're recognising that isolation and loneliness isn't just an issue for older people. It's very much something that all of us can face in different ways and at different times. But our focus and our mission really is on mainly reaching older people. We do that through, in normal times, it would be home visiting. So there'd be a volunteer normally from a local church who would go and visit someone once a week or once a fortnight for around about an hour. And that can have, even just that very simple act can have a huge impact on the life of the person receiving the visit. But it's also a mutually beneficial thing as well. We really emphasise that it's not just the person receiving visits that benefits from this, but we do get a lot of stories from volunteers who really appreciate the contact with someone from maybe another generation. And, you know, they get to talk about all sorts of stories about what happened during the war. And it's a really great opportunity for people to share lives, really, and some of the stories that we hear. But it's been great to just to see that benefit that there is. Obviously, since lockdown, we've had to convert all of that to telephone befriending. So most of our contact with people is by telephone. We've got 30 or so visiting projects around the country at the moment. So all of those are being converted to telephone befriending. And we've started a new project recently as well, which I can explain a bit later. But
Tooth Company.
Yeah, we'll
definitely talk about that. I wanted to go back, though, because you were talking about younger people, particularly the connected generation. We call them Generation Z. And maybe the younger millennials, it's been widely reported about their mental health and well-being being impacted, particularly at this time. But actually, it was talked about before we were going through the pandemic. But I know, and the reason I wanted to talk to you is because it is pretty unusual for an organization to specifically focus on older people in this area. And I just wonder whether it could be something to do with our views of what an older person is in the West, because we're in the UK, and I know I've been to America and worked with Americans as well, and there are different views about older people. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, I think I think it's like a lot of social action projects, for example, food banks and others. The ideal would be that we don't have to exist. So I think you can look at a lot of countries around the world where older people are looked after and cared for very much as part of the wider family unit. And so things like befriending projects often aren't needed. I think it's obviously a real shame that in the West that's often not the case. So it just means that organisations like ours at the moment do need to exist. And these last 6 months show the huge impact that coronavirus has had on all of us, really, but of all ages. But I think our particular concern is those who are elderly, who, mainly because I think that there's a higher percentage of people who are older who are physically on their own, are living on their own. They might have lost partners, so there's the emotional side of things as well. So we're not ignoring the fact that loneliness affects people of all ages and backgrounds, but I think for any charity, it's best to try and keep us focused on what you believe, you know, your calling is, if you like, and that's been something that we've focused on for a long time.
I found a statement by a very high profile church leader, which shall be renamed nameless, but They said, loneliness is the absence of people. It is the absence of purpose. Find your purpose and you will find the right people. What do you say?
Yeah, I saw that. There's a number of reasons why I don't really agree with a lot of what's being said there. I can explain why. I think that firstly, the definition of what loneliness is, this is where we look at this when we do training for what we're involved in. Social isolation is very much something that's a practical physical thing. So it could be that you don't have access to a bus route, or you're very physically out in the middle of nowhere. Loneliness is very much more of a subjective thing. So it's something that's different for all of us. And it's always explained in terms of being a kind of felt response to being socially isolated. So it's an emotional response to the situation that you're in. I think it's something that's different for everyone, and it can be different at different times. And some people are often fine on their own for days or weeks at a time, and others really struggle after just an hour or so. And one of the things we say as well, that it's possible to be lonely in a crowd as well, which is an interesting one to sort of think through. So we often use the example of Robinson Crusoe in our training as well. So he was physically marooned on an island, very isolated physically with no one else around as far as he was aware. He would have had days where he felt particularly lonely and other days where maybe he was coping quite fine. So I think that maybe just hopefully helps to sort of explain from our perspective. And you know, a lot of the writing on this does explain loneliness to be something that's very much of a subjective feeling that all of us can have at different times. So I kind of question that part of the subject. It talks as well about loneliness being the absence of purpose. And I guess one kind of stark example really is that I'd say Jesus himself felt lonely in Gethsemane on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? But we in no way would say that he had no clear purpose. You know, I think I've been reading recently about the story of Easter, and obviously Jesus had a very clear purpose, which was the really tough one of facing the cross. But he still felt lonely. So I think I'd question that loneliness is an absence of purpose. And in the last little bit of that, I think it was find your purpose and you'll find the right people. I'd be interested to know who wrote this actually, but I think for me, a lot of the people that we're in contact with are physically on their own. They live on their own. And so even if they were able to find people who might help them to find their purpose, it's very unlikely that they would be able to do that. Actually, that for us, the volunteer might be the only person that they have contact with. So I'd probably reword. I was thinking about this over the weekend. I think I'd reword it to say something like loneliness is an individual emotional response to circumstances in which good quality human interaction is limited or lacking. Find a strong and healthy relationship and your general health and well-being will improve, and you'll also impact the lives of those around you. It's a bit of a longer statement, but I think as Christians, we need to be aware that everyone's different, really, and that particularly at the moment, there's many people around us struggling with loneliness, and really that as Jesus' hands and feet, really, we're there to engage with those around us, whether that be neighbours or friends or family, and he calls us all just to play that part and to look out for those who are struggling, particularly at the moment.
Absolutely, yeah. And I agree with you. I like your statement very much. And it's much more akin to humanity in general. So thank you for that. Now, I want to ask you, you have a really good, and if people are listening, I guess on, we'll get all the links on the show notes. So get on Linking Lives UK website. It's an infographic on your website. I just want you to share some top level stats on that, because I was so surprised when I read it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of really stark ones. There's one on there that says 92% of us find it difficult to tell others that we're lonely. 13% of us feel lonely all the time. And loneliness is similar to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. All of those were written pre-COVID. So, yeah, you can easily, I think, at least double those. Obviously, 92% can't be doubled, but yeah, I mean, the impact on people's lives is huge at the moment. One figure that was out this week, produced by the Office of National Statistics, said that back in March, 2.1 million people said that they always or often felt lonely. And I think a couple of weeks ago, which was when the report came out, that's now doubled to 4.2 million. And that's just in sort of 6 months or so. So, there's a lot of stark figures around, and we only have to, I think for me, that what brings it home, and we often say this with statistics, is, yeah, it's easy to look at them as figures and be concerned about them, but there's always a person, which often could be someone in your road, in your street, or in your family, who you know, for whom that's their real reality. And I guess that comes back down again to the need for churches and Christians to respond to that and to be aware of it, and just to look out for those around us, really. That's something that I think, although we're running a charity focusing on this, part of what we do is really encourage Christians in their own local areas to look out for those who maybe are walking their dogs on their own on a regular basis and may well be quite isolated, and just look out for next door neighbours. So, yeah, there's something that we can all do at this time.
Yeah, I was telling somebody the other day, we've lived in this property for 30 years this year, and we have a neighbour who is quite a bit older than us, and at the time, for whatever reason, refused to engage with us, even though we tried. However, come March 2020, that changed.
Yeah.
Because her husband had passed away a few years before, and we could see she was struggling, but she didn't know how to reverse the years of the lack of communication. We broke the ice and said, do you need any help? And it's interesting, because when you start to talk to people, you realize that actually you're very much the same. We both share a love of gardening, for example. I'm a bit of an anorak when it comes to gardening. And she has a very pretty garden, and we were able to share things. I've gone off and got her plants, and, you know, and we kind of sometimes need to do that and look at the bigger picture and how we can sometimes overcome those barriers that have been set up through no fault of our own. So I would say, I would encourage everybody at the moment that's listening, whether you're in the church, but we are the church, so we could all do our individual best. Now, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned, or the website, and you did mention earlier that you work with churches and other Christian organizations. And I was wondering how you, first of all, I want to know how you identify these people that are lonely, and then how do you train whoever comes into contact, whether that's a volunteer or member of staff, in dealing with this?
Sure. So on a local level, we work with churches, and part of our training with them is to help them to recognise and to build links with organisations that might make referrals of those people that are particularly on their own. So that's right. I guess the kind of nugget, really, that we bring to the table, really, is that a lot of churches are maybe aware that they may well be lonely or isolated people in their local communities, but it's the key question is, how do you reach them? It's not always that easy, but it's often social workers, GPs, friends or family. There's a relatively new, it's been going a few years now, but it's getting much more profile, concept called social prescribing, where GPs are encouraged to, rather than always giving prescriptions for medicine, they can also prescribe, in inverted commas, activities or events or things like befriending projects. or even going to the cinema. But it's things like that would help the general wider well-being of people. That's really being encouraged by government, and this funding being put in to enable those links to happen on local levels. We would often get referrals from local people who've been taken on in that kind of a role, really. So I think the key way that we do it is on a very we try and keep things as local as possible, and that way the wider services can be incorporated as well. So if someone needs a regular visit, say from us, but they also need advice on say money worries or welfare as a benefits, then they can get signposted to them on a local level as well. Yeah, I forget the second part of your question.
No, you kind of indicated the training and the development side of things and how people get referred. So you have answered the question, but in fact, with the training, do you have, because at the moment we're still in a situation where we're socially distanced a lot of the time, it's deemed not safe to be in the classroom together, for instance. So how do you deal with that at the moment?
Yeah, so at the moment we're doing it all via video conferencing. So all volunteers that are coming forward would have a basic training package, which would be about an hour and a half, which goes into the basics of what is befriending, what is loneliness, what does their role involve, sometimes more importantly, what does it not involve. So we do make it clear that it's not counselling, and for churches who are involved, we're not there to be preaching at people, although there may be opportunities to pray with them or to encourage them to go to church in the future. But we're mainly there to offer really good quality relationships and good quality time is what we focus on. So we go through things like safeguarding, all the other key aspects of what's involved in just making sure that it's done in a safe environment and a safe way. So that's broadly how we've had to convert to this time. Hopefully we can do it much more face to face in the future, but that's
I think that's how you're doing it at the moment. You're using technology the way we all are, really.
Yeah.
Have you heard the term phygital?
No.
Well, that's another. I mean, the Oxford Dictionary people come up with 19 new words since this time last year. You know, obviously we've got COVID and people call that corona. Some people call it corona, and we've got furloughing, and all these words have not been used in such frequency. But phygital, I found out the other day, having spoken to a guest on episode 31, John Porterfield, is the combination of the physical church, so in-person service, with digital, so online. So that's what that is.
I'll throw that in anyway. I'll start using that one.
Phygital. So it's phygital training, if you like. Yeah, in a way. Because I was thinking about it. I mean, we are in the UK, but we have a lot of listeners. Half our listeners are actually in the USA. And like the UK, there is a very multicultural population in some states over there and some cities in the UK. And so they speak community languages. And I was just wondering how you're able to deal with that aspect.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is quite a potential challenge, really, for churches. It's very, in a way, it's difficult to talk in broad terms. We've got projects that some of them are running in inner city London, very multicultural areas. Others are very much rural, relatively white middle class, and then everything in between, really. So I guess to some extent the benefit of that is that the majority, and again going back to the local aspect of what we're doing, the majority of churches that are running Linking Lives befriending project would be relatively representative of their local communities. So if there are people that speak different languages, I'd hope that wouldn't be an issue. Having said that, I think there are some situations where, yes, language can be a challenge. I've got one really good story quite early on. When we started to do visiting locally in Reading, was that we were given a referral of a lady who only spoke Gujarati, and she was part of a care home. She was in a care home where I think pretty much all of the other residents were white and just spoke English, including I think most of the carers. And the area that itself is pretty white, middle class, I'd say. But we prayed about it. We were hoping that we'd find someone, and within I think 2 weeks, someone who lived opposite the church came in and said she wanted to do some volunteering. And so we got to know her a little bit, and guess which language she spoke. Which was amazing. Brilliant. So we matched them up, and they got on like a house on fire. Eventually she had to finish with that, but we found someone else, Christian lady locally, who again spoke Gujarati. So we've seen, and not just to do with language, but we've seen a number of examples where we felt that it would be quite a challenge to find a volunteer who would be a good match. Where obviously if we pray about it and just give it to God, it's been amazing how he's come up trumps for us. So it just shows, just being a part of a Christian organization, that there's some amazing stories like that. So
good case study example, actually. How does Two's Company work? Because I know that's been relatively recent development, given our socially distanced existence at the moment.
Sure. So just a bit of background on it, really. So as I say, until March this year, we were purely setting up home visiting projects. And they were generally going really well, but that was our main model that we were using to reach those who were isolated and lonely. In March, we just suddenly had to think, well, what are we going to do about this big new thing that's come along? And fairly quickly realised that that there'd be a huge benefit in putting together a model that was purely based on telephoning. So volunteers ringing someone once a week for about half an hour, but on a regular basis. And so we probably spent best part of a month to 6 weeks just working pretty hard to get all the logistics together, work out how it should work. We gave it the name Two's Company. We trialed it in four areas of the country back in April, just as a pilot, just to see how it worked, and it seemed to work fine. And since then, we just made it available to any completely new churches, really, that were wanting to reach out to those on their own or struggling with loneliness during and after COVID. We certainly don't see this as a short-term thing. We think this is going to be an ongoing need. But since April, we've set up 27 projects, Two's Company projects, which has been really exciting to see. Yeah, it's been really good as well, just to see churches wanting to do something around this. And for them, obviously, the benefit is that they don't have to do all the homework and hard graft to come up with documents and procedures. That's all been done for them. Mm-hmm. It's been really good. We do the training again over Zoom. So we train up a coordinator from each church in how to set up a project and also how to then train their own volunteers, and that's then cascaded down to their local volunteer team, and they can start doing the training from there on. So it's been a really exciting journey. I think again it's been one where we've really felt God being at the centre of it, and we feel that this is the second really element of our kind of toolkit, if you like, of how we can move forward and how we can enable churches to really engage with those who are socially isolated in their local communities.
And I know that you started a Two's Company somewhere in the USA.
Yeah, that's a fairly recent thing. So we had someone totally out of the blue from South Dakota contact us, saying that she'd seen our website and she was really wanting to set something up over there. Interestingly, the whole concept of befriending, it sounds as though isn't quite so well known as over here. So, but she's going to be working with a number of local organisations and churches to set something up there. We did the training with her, I think, 2 weeks ago. So although we're not specifically intending to start having an international reach, we're very happy to help out with anyone who's who'd like to look into this a bit more within their local area, if it's outside of the UK.
Yeah, well, we don't know what God's plans are. It might be that this is the very thing that's needed elsewhere. Given we hear the media talking about loneliness almost being an epidemic. So it's possible that God's going to direct you in that direction. So we'll leave it to him. So how do churches sign up for Two's Company?
Yeah, so mainly the easiest way is through our website. So we've got a contact form that people can fill out. So our website's linkinglives.uk, and they can sign up on there, register an interest in setting up a Two's Company project. They'll receive some information about how to go about doing that. And then if they'd like to follow it through, then there's further instructions there about how to register and go through the training. So it's one of those things. We've tried to make it as quick and easy as possible to set up. So some churches have got set up literally within 3 weeks or so, particularly those that have already got really good and strong links within the local community. Others might take a little bit longer than that, but we're trying to keep it so that it's not too much of an extra burden. Just being aware as well that churches have got a lot on their plate, adapting to the way that church is being done at the moment. So this is just an additional toolkit really to enable them to reach out to those that might be particularly struggling at this time.
You know, what occurred to me just now is, even though we're the church, we are the church individually, and you're talking about assemblies, church assemblies, local churches, if you like. But I was wondering whether individual Christians could sign up for this and then coordinate something themselves outside an assembly, because we shouldn't assume that everybody belongs to an assembly. What do you say?
Sure. The way that we tend to deal with that is that we do ask, even if and this is the ideal, is that that there's a Christian, probably not a church leader, because church leaders have obviously got lots of other things going on. So someone with a real heart and vision and passion to support and reach older people, we would normally really say that they would need to be part of a Christian church. The main reasons being things, logistics really, like insurance, safeguarding, all the criminal records checks, which might need to be done. So it's mainly to do with the administrative background, and also the need to recruit volunteers. So again, that makes it a lot easier if they are part of a church where there's a group of volunteers that could be called on to help out. And I think support as well. So it's important for whoever's coordinating this to have a some means of support, whether it's a church leadership or a small steering group or however that works. So that's the model that we would use. And it protects the interests of both the volunteers and those being visited as well, if there's part of a wider organisation. So there may be other organisations that don't need that, but that's our the approach that we're using.
Now, I know you said that you're not looking to set up branches, if you like, for want of a better term, abroad. But if people are listening to this and they're interested, could they get in touch too?
Yeah, again, I think through the website. So yeah, that would be fine. We'll send information out. That there's elements of what we do, which by definition are very focused on the way that things work in the UK. But I would say that a lot of it's fairly adaptable to local circumstances and what might be specific to particular countries. So very happy to have an initial conversation about that with anyone who might
Fantastic.
Be interested.
Jeremy, I've enjoyed our time talking about a subject that doesn't get covered very much, but is so important because it may affect any of us, could affect anybody at any time. So I want to really thank you and remind people that all the information for Linking Lives and other links and resources will be in the show notes, so you can get in touch very, very easily from there. But Jeremy, I want to say thank you so much for your time talking to us on this podcast today.
Great. Good to speak to you, Raj. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to the Healthy Church Growth Show podcast. If you enjoyed the show, let us know what you think by leaving feedback on any podcast platform you listen to podcasts on. Don't forget to share this link with fellow ministers and church leaders, and join us every Monday for another episode of the Healthy Church Growth Show podcast.